Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Live Life by Design, brought to you by Become an Investor. Excuse me. Ooh, it's been a long day. Long day here.
Sound like me now.
Yeah, right?
Puberty.
So we're here tonight with a full table. Of course, our amazing host, Wicho Medina. How are you tonight?
What's up, beautiful people, in the absence of Danny?
You didn't say right, though. Yeah. You got to yell that shit, like, from the heart.
And the accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the accent. Well, maybe we'll give our fill-in. Ricardo, he can yell. He's filling in for Daniela today. So welcome, Ricardo, to the table, filling in tonight. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're glad to have you here. So you guys will be hearing different voices from time to time, and Ricardo's going to be one of them. So get used to that. And, of course, we have our amazing co-host here, Steve Campos. How are you?
What's up, beautiful people? Yeah. Oh, this
is a little better. A little sexier, dude. Come on.
Why I pulled up my pat leg, you know? Oh, man, it's been a day. It's been a day.
Yeah. It sure has, yes. And I'm Sarah, your other co-host here for tonight. So we have a great topic and an amazing quote to start off the night. So let's get started with the quote. Ricardo, if you don't mind sharing that with us today.
Yeah, sure. So the quote is, "The greatest risk of all is not taking one," by Melody Hobson.
Right on. That is very true.
The biggest risk of all is not taking one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%, man.
That's 1,000%.
You know? How many people sit on the sideline and say, oh, I wish I would have, or I wish I could, but never do?
No.
And then you know what happens 10 years later? I wish I would have, I wish I could, and nothing changes.
Yeah, same sideline, right?
Yeah, same sideline, same site, right? Watching everybody else move on and mm-hmm. do something, take their risks and take advantage of something good, right? Great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. You know how many people I know that have been tampering with getting involved in real estate investing and haven't pulled the trigger? And a couple cycles have gone through where everybody else had made money and they're just still there on the sideline, man.
I'll do it.
You know, they're like, I'll get to it. I'm going to plan for it. I'm going to get involved. Like, yeah, okay, well, you know, we'll see you in the next cycle.
Yeah.
In the meantime, everybody's making money, except for the ones that don't take the risk.
Yep.
You know, so that kind of sucks, man. But to each their own.
Yep.
Campos, what are you talking about tonight, man?
So tonight we're going to talk about the powerful benefits of real estate investing, building wealth, security, and a future. And you know what that requires? Some risk.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it requires twice as much risk in California. it takes some risk, taking some risk.
It does.
The benefits are great.
Exactly. But that's the saying, right? No risk, no benefit, right? No struggle, no growth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like we say here in the office, you know, can I do it? Is it worth it?
100%.
And it's something, you know, you guys can't answer the questions, but just ask yourself that, you know, all of you people looking to get into real estate investing or somehow trying to get involved with people in real estate investing, ask them, you know, is it something you can do? And is it worth doing? Ask someone actively involved in the industry. Is this industry is it worth getting involved with or in?
Yeah. I mean, it's so simple that you can even Google that, though. Right.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. I mean, here, I'm going to kind of quote this. It's tried and true. It's a tried and true method for building wealth and securing financial freedom. Like, financial freedom, loosey-goosey word, but it's tried and true. A tried and true method, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, what is it? 90% of millionaires have become so through real estate.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, and seriously, Google that. It's real shit, yeah. You know?
Real estate and leverage.
That's it. Well, yeah, and leverage.
Absolutely, you know?
Leverage.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, yeah, well, so moving forward, I mean, we're going to be talking about a couple different topics here. Or bullet points in the topic. Number one is a wealth building through appreciation and equity. Ricardo, you want to touch on some of those bullet points?
Yeah, so the first thing I can think of is property is going to raise their value over time.
Yeah.
And it's history has shown it, so it's something that's almost always going to happen. So
yeah,
it's a safe bet.
Well, depending on the cycle.
Correct.
Right? Because of the cycle, when it gears down, then...
Yeah, then a little different.
Fan. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but, yeah. But making your payments on a regular basis also contributes to the equity in your property as well, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Particularly as if you keep the house for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, and you pay a little, you start to see the equity, because the interest rates start to, not interest rates, but the interest on the loan starts to pull back a little bit and you start paying more principal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously they're long-term investments.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you could do the quick in and out, the quick wholesaling processes. But if you're looking to, you know, I mean, you got to go through your journey, right? Yeah. Wholesaling. But the objective at the end is you should be buying discounted properties and allowing for the appreciation to kick in so you can get that equity growth and then be able to cash out on your gains, right? Or repurpose those gains for another investment. Right.
And that's the thing, though. Right. I think that's one of the big things. And we talk a little bit about here. We've talked about capital gains in the past before and how mm-hmm. how we can get around them. I think that's actually one of the topics or one of the bullet points later on in our discussion here. But capital gains they're there. Right. When you sell a property. But we'll get to that. Right. We'll talk about how to get around capital gains.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, before we get there, which is, you know, obviously one of the perks or cons, right, depending on how you treat it, how you work it, generating steady cash flow. Sarah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so part of that would be, you know, rental income, right? Nowadays, you have the short-term rentals, the long-term rentals. Mm-hmm. You have the Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. So anything like that that can potentially generate a steady cash flow.
Yep.
Is, you know, kind of what you want to go for.
Right.
Steady but positive cash flow.
Yeah, of course. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, right. Some positive. Yeah, you want something positive.
I was I was just having a conversation with a buddy of mine in Texas, right? And he was telling me about some of the properties out there, and he's, you know, wanting to start looking to invest. He mm-hmm. says because the market's getting a little shaky, mm-hmm. and he's seeing a lot of for sales pop up, and, you know, people are starting to fall in distress because a lot of people are losing jobs, he said. And he's like, you know, I can get that house for X amount of dollars, and, you know, I'll probably make, you know, I'll break even. And I'm like, why would you, right? I told him, you know, the thing is it just to break even? What are you looking for? And he says, well, I mean, because eventually the property will go up. I said, but do you understand where we're at in the cycle?
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, no. So I kind of, you know, explained to him where we're at and what we're doing and, you know, where things are. And then if you're not positively cash flowing, what's the point? I told him, because if you're just breaking even, what about repairs? What about your repairs and things of that sort that may come up? Now you're coming out of pocket, dude.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. But
things that we really, as investors, you got to stay on top of. Right?
Yeah.
It's not just about acquiring the property.
Right, right. Can you hold it?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, if you plan to hold it. So me personally, I would buy a negative cash flowing property at the bottom of the cycle. You know,
I agree.
It depends in the wave of the cycle. Where is it that negative cash flow property comes down your pipeline? So, you know, I was just going to jump on that deal that we spoke about the other day. I mean, the one that was on the board here that we were talking mm-hmm. about, that shitty house with the shitty loan, but it was cash flowing, you know?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, well, it's going to take a shit. The cycle's going to take a shit. But by the time the interest-only payment expires, the market's going to be completely in a different spot.
Right.
You know, maybe on the upside. But that property was specifically, strategically just for cash flow. And sometimes those deals are okay.
Yeah.
You know, depending on where you're at, right? Depending what your intention is. But if you're going to pick up a property that has very tight margins, very tight cash flow at the top of the market, and you see everybody's kind of like vacating town, maybe you ought to follow.
Pump your brakes.
Yeah, right?
Pump your brakes, man.
Well, man, I mean, it's so many different benefits in real estate investing. And, you know, I think there's more benefits than risks in it when done right.
Yeah.
You know? But for that, some of the tax benefits in real estate investing, Campos.
Well, deductions, just operational costs, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So again, now if you're cash flowing, but now if there's repair costs, or even let's just say I partnered with them on that deal in Texas, let's just say we are cash flowing. Well, then my expenses to fly out there are deductions.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's operational business costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other side of it is that there we go. That, capital gains, you know, we're talking about the 1031 exchange where you're able to defer your taxes on your capital gains into buying another property.
Right.
So that's a huge, huge money saver there.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you think about it, it almost seems like the IRS incentivizes you not to pay taxes by allowing you to move your money into better investments, alike or bigger than what you previously had, right? So in a 1031 exchange, it has to be similar property, in debt, right? So, but if you're getting into bigger debt, that means bigger local property taxes.
Yep.
Right. More taxes whenever it is that you cash out on your money, if you cash out. So if you don't, you can keep on 1031 that next investment for eternity.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it generates jobs. It generates jobs, the consumption of goods. It benefits the city, the communities with the flow of economy and taxes and all that.
And then think about that. If you build an ADU on the property, right? Yeah. If you're able to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're even supplying affordable housing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's a lot. So, I mean,
tons of benefits that real estate investors bring to the table for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And, it you know, what's really cool about being in a community is that when you're barely getting started in it, you don't have to understand all this.
No.
You know, just lean on somebody else's credibility or somebody else's knowledge.
Yep.
And understand that if they're invested in it with you, they're not going to risk their money. Therefore, that alone is going to be a security to your end. Right?
Safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a safety net. You know, it's like if me and Ricardo end up in a deal and he's doubting the processes and he's got to go in 50K and I'm going to go in 50K, I'm not going to burn my money.
Exactly.
So that's a safety net for you, or at least you should see it that way, in the sense of, well, I don't think this investor is just burning money because he's got nothing to do. Right?
Yeah.
And then if you don't understand all these, some of these may be applied to any one of your deals. You know, if you plan to do a long-term investment where you get the steady cash flow, that's a benefit to the upcoming investor that is learning those processes. Monthly cash flow, who wouldn't want that? You know, appreciation, equity, you know, the tax benefits, 1031 exchanges.
Right. What about, but even depreciation?
Right. Right. Depreciation as well.
Depreciation will offset your, I mean, if yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So let's move on to number four, leveraging real estate to multiply your investments. Ricardo.
Yeah, so the big thing is when you have real estate, it's an asset, so you're able to use that asset to increase your potential to increase your profit on a potential investment.
Okay, cool. So scalability too, right?
Right.
Explain how investors can scale. It is to show how investors can scale their portfolios by leveraging equity from one property to finance the next investment, right? So a lot of people don't understand it, and all you have to do is ask. But I like using my investments as tools.
Right.
You know, I remember the other day a gentleman came and brought in a commercial property, and he said, you know what? I have an individual looking to buy a commercial property approved for 24 units, I think he said it was. And he said he's asking, it's an old restaurant. It's shut down. It's vacant. He wants 1.1. He said, I've gone to 1.9 creatively, and he won't take. And I'm like, well, dude, 1.1 to 1.9, the only thing in your creative strategy is the lack of securities. You know, you're not giving them the sense of security other than, you know, a personal promissory note or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you structuring that there's such a huge gap? Is he not serious about selling? Or are you not giving him the securities he's looking for to move his property?
To have to go from 1.1 to 1.9?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of retarded, if you ask me. So then I told him, okay, is he open for a property swap? And he said, what the hell is that? And I told him, well, what if I give him a property, ARV 680, free and clear, performing at $3,300 a month? Would he be open to taking that as a security? You know, paper's going to move, right? And then carry that rest at 1.1. I'm not giving them the 1.9.
Yeah, no shit.
And he said, well, shit, that I've never heard that before. I'm like, yeah, well, because maybe you don't have the tools to offer, right?
Yeah.
And he was blown away by the strategy. And I'm like, this is completely legitimate strategy that you can utilize when you have the tools.
Leveraging your property that's free and clear.
Free and clear property in exchange for the position in the ownership of that with seller financing attached. Like a hybrid type of deal, you know?
Yeah, but that's actually pretty cool. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
most creative man I know within a 3-mile radius.
Yeah, you know, like I do this all the time. I do this all the time. I use my tools. I use my rentals. I use it every single time. When I get the opportunity to structure a deal, I listen. I listen to the need.
Yeah.
Right? I don't listen to the want. I listen to the need. You're going to have somebody react to the need further, faster than the want. All the time when there's clarity, right? So the guy wanted to sell, but he needed security. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, good point.
So he wanted to sell, but the security the gentleman was giving him wasn't worth $800,000. So he couldn't get him to pull the trigger. But then when you come and offer him the security that he needs, he still wants to sell that 1.1.
And then he just needed that little nudge of safety.
Absolutely.
Knowing that he's going to get something out of it if this goes sideways.
So this is what the back end of the deal was. He was looking to sell at 1.1, then this guy comes and offers 1.9 creatively, whatever creatively means, to knock down a restaurant and convert it to 24 units. So what's the length of the project to the finish line versus the length of the creative deal and carrying that note? You know, the risk factor in it was like, wait, I'm going to carry this note for as long as you build. And what if the fucking building burns down? You're going to run on it?
Right.
with no security whatsoever.
Yeah, other than that's a promissory note. That's not a very good deal for him.
So it was like, no wonder you're not putting him under contract.
Yeah.
But then when I made that offer, he's all like, what the what? Because he needs.
Yeah.
He wants to sell, but he needs.
That security.
He needs to be able to grasp onto something that says, you know what? It wasn't that bad. The building burnt down halfway built, the 24 unit that they were building. And, you know, I ended up with a free and clear $700,000 property, and I'm just carrying the remainder, you know, $400,000, whatever it is, you know, whatever the terms were.
And the property's paying off probably a good portion of his mortgage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when that's a solid win right there. That's a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Creative, well, huh?
Yeah. I mean, moving forward, inflation hedge, Sarah.
So for inflation hedge, there we see how the rental income can get stronger with the increase of the cost of living. So that's, I mean, I think we see more of that in like the outer states of the country, you know, like the California, the New York, the Florida's.
Coast?
Yes, the coast. Thank you. Yeah. my mind went blank for a minute. So, you know, because the cost of living is always rising.
Yeah.
Generally in those kind of areas.
More desirable areas.
Yes, there you go. So then cost of living comes with rental income, right? Or income for the investors. So rents tend to go up. And they sustain. So that's pretty cool. It's very rare when you'll see rents go down to where they were or, you know.
Yeah.
But
I don't think you know, it's like it's like after COVID, right? Or through COVID, everything went up and then it forgot to come down. It was the readjustment of pricing of goods and labor cost, and then it forgot to come down. And everybody had to not only adopt it, but adapt to it. And that was the new economy after COVID. So in rental, rental properties, when rent goes up, I mean, they really never, ever come down.
I don't think they do.
I mean, unless you're renting to your uncle or your, you know, padrino.
Give them a discount for the month or something.
But those are good points, right? Because, I mean, we're talking about historically, real estate values have outpaced inflation over the decades, right? And I just pulled up a statistic here. It says if home prices had kept pace with overall inflation since 1963, the median American home would only cost $177,000 today.
Wow.
2.4 times less than the $431,000 it actually costs today. Isn't that freaking crazy?
Yeah.
So, again, going back to what we're talking about, how real estate is a great, great, I mean, way to go. Great risk to take, right? If you see it that way. But, I mean, if it's outpacing inflation that crazy, and right now we're in like a crazy, we've been in a crazy inflation bubble, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully it pops. But, I mean, think about that. Real estate has outpaced inflation by like those crazy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, real estate's the way to go, man. You know, 90% of millionaires become sold through real estate.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. I read a post this morning and it caught my attention. It was actually really simple, really cool. It said, don't put your money in the stock market or something like that. Yeah, don't put your money in the stock market right now. And then on the bottom said, read the caption again. So, you know, it's like, but nobody's saying don't put your money in real estate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just another good point. In the last decade alone, inflation has increased by 31%. Home prices have increased by 63%.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Talk about your retirement plan.
Yeah.
You know, fuck.
I mean, I know exactly why I got involved in real estate investing, you know, and I know exactly what it was going to do for me. It's like I had the opportunity to it's like when you're a kid, right? You have all these crazy dreams. Mm-hmm. And you dream exactly what you want to be. Exactly what you want to be. You almost, you can almost touch it. Some, you know, some of those dreams are really, really real.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could dream what you want to be. And if you pay attention to dreams, dreams are end results. But you never dream the processes.
No. Yeah, you're right. You know why? Well, because you don't sleep that long.
Yeah, no. Because you probably wake up. You're like, fuck this.
What the fuck?
You know, so I know I would visualize very deeply within that I'd be exactly here now. But I didn't know how heavy the process was going to be, how demanding it was going to be.
Yeah.
But if I, now that I have the a blueprint, I would probably do it again. I would definitely do it again the very same way. Because the payout is by all means worth it.
I would agree. You know? I mean and I haven't been in the business as long as you have.
Mm-hmm.
But the short term or the short time that I have been in the business, it's been, I'm not going to say it's been easy. Mm-hmm. Or, but it's been. It's been, I mean, it's a ride for sure.
Yeah.
But the benefits, like, the benefits or I should say the reward. This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast. Versus the risk associated with real estate investing and then my niche business.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great payout. Like, yeah. I can't say it enough, right? And I'm glad. I'm with you. Even you know, just for years or however long, I guess it's been a little over 4 years or 4 years, whatever, in the business, it's so much better than what I was doing before, right? And one of the things I can't say it enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in doing this, just pull the trigger, because you're just going to wait on the sidelines. It took me fucking, I don't know, 20 years almost, I don't know, since 2008, right? But what I'm getting at is, I mean, just jump in and do it, man. Take the risk, because it is so worth it. It's not easy. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
I like to tell people, you know, why don't you do like a self audit? Even though we would always cheat, right? If we're going to audit ourselves and our performance, we're always going to twitch a knob here and there in the effort to come with positive results from the audit, right? We're not going to talk shit on ourselves. We don't do that. We're human. We're that dumb. You know,
for real, huh?
But here's the thing, all you really have to do is, you know, just sit down for a bit and analyze what your current career or job has done for you, and see what the cost of living is, see what the job or career is giving you. And then do the math on whatever's left. And then once you do the math on whatever's left, ask yourself, with the cost of living, inflation, and all that good stuff, ask yourself how long it would take you playing with that money and putting it in a savings account to get you to retirement.
Or your 401k.
Or even that. That can also take a shit really quick.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
But, you know, and do that for, you know, analyze the previous 2 years. If your career has given you what you think can get you to where you want to go, that's all you have to do. We've all proven and tested what we make. We can't lie to ourselves.
Right.
We know what we bring in on a monthly basis, and we know what the cost of living is on a monthly basis. And
expensive.
Then we know if we are responsible with our money, to where we save enough for emergencies or retirement. It just takes 2 years of you analyzing that from this day back. And then do the math and say, shit, this is what I plan to do for the next 2 years. Is it worth it?
Can you do it?
I mean, is it worth to keep on doing what you're doing? Yeah. It sucks.
It does. But that's like a harsh, like, that's the baby shake, dude. You know what I mean? It has to be.
You have to be baby shaken.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the wake up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody gets so comfortable where they're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to break that little cocoon that they're in, right? But they want more. Everybody wants more. But nobody wants to leave that comfort, that couch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I say to that is, to your point, the last 2 years or the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
Whereas what you're currently doing gotten you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is all encouraging, guys. Our listeners out there, we're just trying to encourage you. If you haven't pulled the trigger on getting involved in real estate investing and you've been wondering about it or listening, kind of how we've been on for, what, a year and change? If you haven't done anything yet, start looking to do it, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to be listening to us a year from now, the same thing, haven't done anything. And it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
Because the changes to the market are coming.
Oh, they are.
And one of the things I've been saying to our students is like, hey, you know what? You don't want to have to learn how to drive during an emergency.
No way, Jose.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, like, it's time. Jump, you know, start learning what you need to learn so you can take advantage, because the wave's going to come. It's going to come. It's inevitable. It's just history repeats itself, right?
All the signs are everywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, all the signs are everywhere. The activity is everywhere. Like I tell everybody, real estate is just so self-promoted.
Right.
You know, it just happens. You don't have to be involved in it to understand that, you know, shit's about to hit the fan or already kind of splattering in different areas. You know, I mean, this is serious, you know, and people that want to get involved in the industry, in the business, a lot of them get involved at the wrong time. I think about it a lot, you know, like, so we used to have a swimming pool construction company and people would hire us during the summer. Like, what the fuck is your pool going to be done in the winter? This is such a miss.
But,
you know, prices don't change. There's no price difference from winter to summer. Why not get involved and build your pool in the winter? And you can enjoy it immediately, have a return on it in the summer. I don't understand. Same thing with education. You know, people that want to get into the business, they want to get in it when there's activity going on already.
Right.
And that's too late.
That's way too late. That's like, okay, so trading stocks, right? I've been a day trader for a few years. And it's the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
People won't jump into the stock when it's down at the bottom. And that's the time to buy. That's the time to get in on it. Because you know what? You're buying it at a discount.
Yeah.
But it's human nature to say, oh, you know what? It's down. I don't want to do it. Nobody else is doing it. So I'm going to wait until everybody else jumps in.
Except for the big guys.
Exactly. And then they'll jump in. And then guess what? It's climbing. And oh, shouldn't I? Okay, yeah, I'm going to jump in now. And then guess what? It hit its peak and it dumps.
Yeah.
All novice investors do that. Right. Same, but it's human nature. It's because everybody wants to feel
a gain,
or you know what it is? Yeah, where I think it's everybody else is doing it, so now it's my time to do it.
Yeah,
it's that crowd mentality, right? Like, how do they say that? Safety in numbers.
Yeah,
but it's not. It's not.
You know, I was watching a video about this fest, this feast or whatever you call it. You know, it was like, it was a huge concert at the top of a hill. There was a band playing at the bottom of the hill, and there's people scattered everywhere on this hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's just sitting down, just kind of like all these bunch of hippies, you know, just sitting down, doing whatever, chit-chatting. And then this song comes on, and then this guy gets up and starts dancing by himself. Yeah. You know, have you seen that video?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody starts criticizing the guy and saying, oh, look at that bozo.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What dumbass gets up and dances by himself? But then as the song progresses, a guy's walking by, right? He's just walking down the hill, picking his nose. And then he sees this guy dancing and he's drawn to the energy. And then he starts dancing with them. Before you know it, some of the people that were criticizing him, clearly laughing at the guy, feel the energy come to them, and then they get up and dance. And then a couple minutes into the song, everybody on the hill's dancing. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, I'm just like, Steve, what's the moral of the fucking story?
That's what, that's messed up.
But, you know, because he told us a story. And he,
and I messed up the moral of the story. No, but the moral of your story is safety in numbers, right?
Yeah.
Safety in numbers. Everybody felt comfortable now that everybody else started doing it, but nobody was willing to take that risk alone.
Yeah.
And that's a miss, man.
Yeah. You know how many people, everybody, absolutely everybody that I know in my circle, my family, friends, and, you know, just anybody that I knew around, that that word came to them that I got involved in real estate investing, some would straight out tell me, dude, you're going to get scammed. You know, others would just, you know, just shower me with all this false encouragement. Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it. You know, just that stupid thumbs up type of deal, you know, like, yeah, little gun and the wink, you know, but it was like, I knew for a fact that the lack of belief on their behalf was very real, very present. And that ignited me just to prove people wrong. That was one of my first like fires. Just prove people wrong. You know, I'm going to do this just to show you that it can be done. And then I rode on that wave, you know, for a certain amount of time, then shit changes and you have to migrate into other things that drive you. But again, against all odds and against everybody telling me I couldn't do it, I stuck my ground and I did it. And was it easy? Hell no. Mm-mm. It's not easy. And I'm an advocate of good things not being easy.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
You know?
If it's too easy, there's something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It's not right. And then again, if it is easy, everybody's going to do it, devalues you as an investor.
If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right. Well, like some of these wholesalers, but, you know, I'm not going to get into that again.
Yeah. You know, well, moving on, even though we went south with the conversation like we always do. Ricardo, what are your thoughts so far, man? What are you thinking?
I think the people that are waiting on investing in real estate are just really wasting their time. So I think they need to jump right on it.
Invest or learn?
Both.
Both.
Because it's not too late. I mean, you don't need to be a pro to start investing, so. It's like one of the first quotes we learned here, action over perfection. And
show.
And I think enough. I think too many people don't take that quote serious, but it's something that should be.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man. I think I'm going to I have so many quotes that I follow. Obviously, all of her books have quotes.
Right.
You know, because I believe that experience never expires and it costs you absolutely nothing, not one, what do you call it, what you burn when you think, proteins or croutons or whatever, right?
Crouton?
Whatever it is that you...
Electrons or yeah, neurons or...
You don't burn...
calories?
Calories, there you go, that's it. You don't burn calories at all, not even one, by using somebody else's quotes, by using somebody else's experience, and then taking whatever it is that you find in it and applying it to your process. So action over perfection. I mean, that's a quote. That's like a 101, you know, like business 101 everybody should run with. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets so stuck in perfecting everything and never take action. they never find the right investment. Everybody's looking for the perfect property, which doesn't even fucking exist. Mm-hmm. The perfect investment property, it doesn't exist. It does not exist. Something's always going to come up. Something.
It's like Henry Ford said, if he waited on his engineers, he would have never made a car.
Yeah.
Because engineers want everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
And then what? He would have never went down in history. Right. We'd still be driving behind horses, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, good point. I think that to what you're saying, quotes are badass. And going hand in hand with what we're talking about as far as people being scared or wanting to wait until the market starts to come up. To quote Warren Buffett, right? He says, be greedy when everybody's scared. Mm. And then be scared when everybody gets greedy, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jump on that shit. Jump on the buys, because properties in a recession are discounted.
Yeah.
Right? And so when things start to go back up again, well, everybody's starting to get greedy because, oh, look, the market's moving. I got to jump in. And it just raises the prices, right? Because the demand comes back.
Right.
Now be scared. Start selling stuff off.
Yeah.
Make your money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a mindset shift everybody needs to go through. It's like even now, right? I asked this question, you know, during our classes. I asked the question of, would you buy in today's market? Mm-hmm. Because interest rates are high. Everybody, oh, no, interest rates are too high. Okay, but they're expected to come down. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you buy today? Because at least you can refinance the interest rate. Mm-hmm. When those interest rates come down, the demand's going to come back. Property values are going to shoot up again.
Yeah.
You can't refinance the principal. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So you get a cheap interest rate, but you just paid a whole bunch of money for the house.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a mindset. I almost said mind shit. A mindset shift that people need to go through, right? But it's part of the growth. It's part of the change that you have to go through.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't mind buying an expensive interest rate at all. So as long as the property fits my criteria.
Yeah.
You know, my criteria, my formula is deeply discounted properties. That's it. You know, we do run with the 70-75% ARV, right? I try to shoot for, you know, lower than that. If I can do 40-50, you know, that's a great yeah. payday. You know, I'll take on any interest rate at that price.
Right.
And I've done it before, you know. And, you know, the interest rate thing, it's just math. It's just part of the equation. If you don't do your math right at the beginning, you're always going to eat it, regardless of, you know, how good the property is and the location is. If you don't do your math from the get-go properly, and you assess all the numbers, go to the whiteboard and do all the numbers. I work worst case scenario all the time.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're always going to eat it. But if you do them and assume, you know, expensive interest rates, but the property price is worth it.
Yeah. Jump on it.
You know, it's like some of the people say, oh, I'd never use hard money. Like, well, wait a minute, you know. We did a case study. It's actually in one of our books. We did a case study where the difference on the proceeds from the same property with private money and hard money was a difference of $10,000 or $13,000 less, right? $13,000 less with the hard money versus the private money. But then, you know, the $13,000 less was still $70,000. So you're not going to make $70,000 because you have an idea problem?
Right.
Right. So, again, you know, it's important for you to keep your eye on your math. And at the end of the day, regardless of where the cycle is, you could do your math wrong at the bottom of the cycle.
Yeah.
And still eat it.
Yep.
You know, but I guess we can go on and on all night about the cycle and the math and the right property and the wrong property. One thing we do advise and we advocate for is educate yourself.
Yep.
You know, get involved with people that are doing what you want to do and that have the results that you wish to have at some point. It's not going to happen overnight, you know, but it will be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the blueprint, but the blueprint also is just be perfect copycat. That's copy easy. The guys just that easy. Are doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yep. Well, let's wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. Closing statements, Sarah?
No, nothing. Just that, you know, as we discuss all the benefits and the security and, you know, the wealth that you can build with a real estate, just like you said, run your numbers and make sure it works for you. And, you know, that's what you're looking for, because what works for one investor may not work for the next. So you just have to know what your buy box is and what your strategy is and what you're going to do moving forward. So,
Yep. Ricardo,
final thoughts. So my final thoughts are, the longer people wait on educating themselves in real estate, the longer they're going to push themselves to potential freedom from like financially. So, you know, I think they should really jump on this. And
yeah. No, that's a good point, man. I mean, everybody wants that freedom, but they don't want to do the work, right? Yeah. They see the chain attached to the foot, just like the elephant, and they don't want to turn on the saw. You know?
Why? Because I got to stretch to get it.
Yeah. You know?
And Netflix is too good right now.
Yeah, or even, you know, if their last recourse was one of those old handsaws.
Or hacksaw.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't. They'd probably be okay just like, fuck this. You know, they want the freedom, but they don't want the work. It sucks. Real estate will give you everything you've ever wished for, but you have to do the work and you have to be okay with it taking a while.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen overnight. You know, I ask people, in your job, in your position, when was the last time you got a raise? A year ago. Okay. How much was that increase? How much did you further give your life away for this past year? A dollar? Two? Three? Four? I mean, I don't know, right? But people don't ask themselves all these questions. When was the last time, not a bonus, a consistent raise in your salary? When was the last time you got one? And then do the math, because that's a reflection. Those are patterns sometimes. Some companies have patterns. They say, company growth equals to, okay, we have room for raises and bonuses and all that shit. Some companies don't manage performance-based raises. Some companies, you know, if they allow the employee to think that there's a performance-based raise, everybody wants to perform. Mm-hmm. But then the company won't make the revenue to give those raises. And then they'll tell you, well, that's what we have, man. The door's right there. You can excuse yourself.
I remember, yeah. You know? I remember that shit. It's like, we never give a five. Nobody gets a five. But you just told me I did. You just gave me a great review. Yeah, but if you're getting a five, then that means you should be doing my job. Okay. Yeah, but it's stupid like that. It's like, to your point, they say it's performance-based, but it's not. It's just it's based on a budget that gets sent out. So, yeah, anyway, I don't want to get into all that, but it sucks. It sucks to be in that position, particularly when you are working your ass off for a company that you put your heart and soul into, and then they just fucking pull the plug on you.
Yeah, I mean, so let's be very clear about this. I mean, I don't mean to prolong this another 2 hours, but let's just be very clear, because this is important to everybody looking to get into the business. Let's forget the fucking heart and the soul. Let's just talk about the time.
Yeah.
Okay, just the time. That's it. That's all that matters. Let's talk about the time. How long has it been since you got your last raise? How much was it? And then, are you okay with trading the next year that could potentially change your life by educating yourself in the industry of real estate investing? Are you willing to trade another year for potentially, not promised, probably another one of those raises?
2%, 3%.
Yeah. And then go to the whiteboard and say, okay, so I make, say, $100 a week, you know, just for the conversation. But my cost of living is 80. 20 is, you know, flat tires and brakes and you know, maybe outing every now and then. No vacations, no nothing. That's what credit for and bankruptcy is for, you know. But those are patterns of life that have to be broken.
Yeah.
They have to be broken. Entrepreneurship is crazy ass scary. And yes, the true fact that checks don't come in on Friday is very real. Mm-hmm. But then the freedom that you get when you do it alongside the relationships and the ability to create your own schedule and pay yourself whatever you want, if you're running business properly, whenever you want, is unmatchable. Just the freedom itself and not having that chain tied to your leg.
Not being stuck in an office all day.
You know, you make your own schedule. You wake up when you want to. You go to bed when you want to. You work when you want to. It's never ending, right? You still have to go work.
Yeah, you gotta generate that revenue.
Yeah, but by this point, it doesn't hurt to work because you're working for your dream, not somebody else's dream.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Anyways, Campos, closing statement. Did you give us one?
No, but I will.
Just give us the moral of the story.
Don't grab the banana.
Yeah.
No, I think ultimately, you know, going back to the quote, the biggest risk of all is not taking one. That's
it. Yeah.
Don't let fear overtake you and not allow you to take a risk that can potentially be life-changing.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, jump on that, guys.
Yep. Well, it was great having you tonight, Ricardo.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. New addition to the team. And like Sarah said, you'll be hearing new voices every now and then, you know. But I'll leave you guys with this. Ask yourself, is real estate investing something you can do? Can you do it? And is it worth it? Do your research. Do your due diligence.
Do your research. And hey, you know what? If you guys want to know what we do, how we do it, hit us up at info@becomeaninvestor.com. Social media, Become an Investor, and becomeaninvestor.com.
Yep.
What's up, guys?
And then the podcast, they can...
Oh, yeah. You can find us on Spotify, Apple. What's that other one that everybody used to listen to?
Spotify.
No, the other one. Yeah, but hit us up, guys. Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms. We're on all of them.
All of them.
Right on. Okay, have a great night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.